Welcome back. This is Porrick from the Humble Coach Podcast. I'm joined today by Shakira Cunier. Am I correct in that, Shakira?
That's the one.
Close. So she's a, like, I suppose, how would we describe you? I suppose a movement... Pardon?
A strength and movement coach.
Yeah, that's a good one. I suppose I was going to make it a bit more varied there, but I think you that would bottle it up nicely for the moment. Could you chat to us a little bit about your, I suppose, you becoming a coach and a little bit of background on yourself, if you could, Shakira?
Well, of course. So it was quite the inevitable, really, me becoming a coach, because my dad was hugely into Bruce Lee.
Okay.
So that's kind of where, like, everything started. Like,
nice.
He just used to, like, absolutely kill myself and my sister. Like, he would throw us around the house and just play with us for hours upon hours. And anytime we visited Sri Lanka, like, he'd have us climbing trees, and like that was kind of like my childhood, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that I was kind of exposed to it. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 7, I started doing Taekwondo, and that has had a huge effect on my life.
Okay.
Like, it's given me so much in my life. Mm-hmm. I studied Taekwondo for like 15 years, and I got my second degree black belt in it, and I also represented Ireland.
Okay, awesome.
And from there, I kind of started coaching, really, because when you get your black belt, you're kind of expected to give your knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Pass it on, absolutely.
Oh. Yeah, so I kind of started coaching when I was around 15, 16. Mm-hmm. I wasn't great, not gonna lie. I was really like unprepared and just throwing information at people, like, you know. And then from there, I started college in 2012, and I studied sports and exercise science.
Okay. Nice.
And I couldn't really keep up with the Taekwondo training because I was in Limerick and I just wasn't really able to get to training. So I started doing boxing and Olympic weightlifting competitively. And that's when I started, I did like the Olympic weightlifting coaching course as well, the level one. So when I was in college, I kind of just dribbled around with coaching. I didn't do too much, really. I kind of did like little bits of coaching with Taekwondo. I did a little bits of coaching with Castle Troy rugby boys. They're like a group of teenage boys.
Okay.
I just go and coach once a week. Then when I was finished college, I was very lucky. I started working in Ackley in Cork. It's not really like your typical gym, I suppose.
No.
I'll try to explain it. Okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting place.
Yeah, it is really interesting. So firstly, like the actual programs, the actual coaching, there's like four in a group. But everybody has their individual program. So, for instance, I might go in and coach four people, and there might be one person who is a doctor. And one person might be heavily overweight. Next person might be a professional athlete. And then the last person is a 90-year-old woman. So each session had a huge amount of variety in each session. So I was exposed to like hundreds of different clients from all different backgrounds and all different abilities, so it was such an amazing experience. And that was just the coaching aspect. Then there was lots of different clubs within Ackley as well. So there's like a book club, there was a cycling club, there was a food club, so there was all different aspects of health within the gym. So I was working there for 3 years. It was amazing.
Nice.
Experience. And now I'm here.
So that's like, that's a good variety of activities, and actually a couple of those kind of resonate with me a little bit, because I would have started coaching when I was maybe 16, 17 as well, in boxing actually. So I remember distinctly, like, kind of like always being a bit into it, but then my mom and dad would have all, and one of my brothers would have always been into it, and they kind of just like, they brought us, myself and my brother, when we were younger, like maybe 9 or 10, 8 or 9 even, what am I talking about? And they're still involved with the club, like, what are we looking at, 25, 30, 28 years later kind of thing, like, it's mad. But I remember distinctly, like you mentioned, you didn't really know what you were up to at the time. I definitely wasn't, I was the same. I remember coming back, I remember being thrown like a half an hour with like 15 8-year-olds when I was 16 and going, I'm not sure. And my dad's like, yeah, you could take care of them. And I'm like, well,
so it's, yeah, so it's a few lunges, you'd be grand.
Yeah, exactly. But I think even then I wasn't that savvy. Like, I suppose you become quite creative. And it feeds into later parts of your coaching life, definitely. I look back on some of those days and they're mad, like, but they're really helpful days as well for me now. Kept me on my toes.
Yeah, you need those days, like, you need to
oh yes, absolutely.
Coach first.
Yeah, exactly. And lots of awkward silences and I'm not too sure. And you're like, yeah, keep going with this. And
don't hit anyone, then it's okay.
I suppose so. With your background in Taekwondo and your background in boxing and kind of a couple of different things, is your mom into sport, or is it just purely your dad kind of giving it loads and he'd be quite heavy into it?
Well, actually, my dad wasn't really into sport as such. He used to row when he was in school, but actually his family just didn't have the money to send him to martial arts. Mm-hmm. So I think he kind of wanted to give that to us because he wasn't able to get it himself. And no, my mom wouldn't be the most active person. No. She looks after herself, like she goes for walks. Mm. She's a nurse, so she doesn't really have time to be committing to sports or anything like that.
Were you in Sri Lanka for long? Like, did you move over? When did you move over to Ireland, or were you in Sri Lanka for? Were you born in Sri Lanka? Were you born in Ireland?
I'm born and raised here, so I've lived all my life really here. Okay. However, like, a lot of summers I have spent a lot of like my childhood in Sri Lanka, and.
Okay.
I try to go back there every 2 years if I can, because I still have family there.
Okay,
so cool. Yeah, I'm hoping to go there maybe during Christmas time to learn the language.
Okay.
It's very important to learn your language. I am fluent, and I'm proud to be fluent in Irish. So I'm hoping to gain Sinhalese if I can when I go there.
Awesome, good stuff. So, and are you fluent in any other languages, or is it just English, Irish, and potentially Sinhalese?
I'm fluent only in English and Irish, but like, I have a little bit of French,
you
a little bit of Joy, like Joy, you can just dabble in different
small
languages.
But, you can chance your arm a bit in the conversation. Okay, so we'll come back around to the coaching emphasis in a wee bit. I suppose, what are you really enjoying about life at the moment? Is there any particular areas? Like, I see you're, there's a couple of things you're kind of involved in with Cafe Move in Cork and the Movement University and things like that. And is it your sister who seems to be just pretty much a ninja, like? So what are you enjoying the most at the moment?
So that's a really nice question, actually. And at the moment, I was like trying to think of an answer. And I was like, I'm actually really happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what everybody kind of wants in life, is to be happy, you know, because we go through periods. You can't be happy all the time.
No.
But I'm actually really happy in my life at the moment, you know. I just seem to be having, there's like a good momentum going with my education, my training. And like my friendships and stuff, my relationships with people, so that's kind of pretty happy about that.
Okay, sweet. That's
about life.
Yeah, it's good. Like, it's good. I think a lot of people a lot of the time we as coaches look like everything is going right and we know we've got all the answers and the whole lot, but it makes a big difference when there is a nice bit of a flow in your life to kind of be okay with, like, okay, well, some stuff maybe not is always not exactly working right, but fine. But the majority is definitely picking up some nice momentum, and it's going in the right direction, I suppose.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So I'm kind of curious of your, you mentioned about your variety of different clientele that you would have worked with over the years, and especially in the clay. Have you thought any thoughts in particular about the benefits of working with that level of clientele, or even some of the challenges? So I suppose for some, the people that might listen to this podcast might be either relatively experienced coaches, but also they might not be coaches at all. They're kind of just curious about fitness, and they're kind of into a bit of training and just checking it out. But have you found any particular benefits from working with such a variety of clients in the last few years, I suppose, even? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I have, and not to sound too cheesy, mm-hmm. but variety is the spice of life. Yeah. That's good enough. Like, my day to day is amazing because one day I could be working with a group of kids with different disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day I could be working with a 90-year-old woman.
Mm.
The following day I could be working with a group of young boxers, you know. So I actually, like, my environment changes so much. The people who I coach change so much. So I get to, like, gain different perspectives from different people's lives,
mm-hmm.
see how they live, and kind of just learn from them, I suppose, mm-hmm. as well,
yeah.
as trying to help them.
Mm-hmm. Have you any particularly challenging clients? No, you don't have to name them like that, but is there any particularly challenging clients that you have, or people that you deal with at the moment? I mean, I suppose when you're based primarily in Cafe Move, or one of the main areas, not primarily, but you do a little bit in Cafe Move in Cork.
And
Ballymoo as well, exactly, yeah. So you've probably got some people that are, if they're coming to that kind of a place, or those kind of places, they might be really interested in movement culture, and they're really, might be a bit more curious than the normal yes. Joe Soap. So they might be a little bit of a higher level, but I'm sure you deal with people who have significant issues going on, be it body weight issues or mobility issues or psychological issues, whatever it is, or like you mentioned about the disabilities and stuff. So is there any particular challenging ones that you've found have been an interesting kind of a battle recently?
Okay.
Out of curiosity.
Think about that one now. I have to think about that.
Damn it, sorry.
I think, like, I treat everybody mm-hmm. as a person first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that always helps me, and that's why I kind of, like, I have such a kind of deep relationship with everyone mm. that I work with. But yeah, the kind of biggest challenge I've had lately was actually starting in Cafe Move, because as you were saying, actually some of the clients, they're already knowledgeable,
mm-hmm.
so I've been trying to kind of enhance my knowledge to, like, a next level,
mm.
so that I can coach them and know the ins and outs of a deadlift, like, mm. beyond what I've already known.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've been kind of focusing on at the moment. Okay. But also, I was working with the Rebel Wheelers, which are a group of kids in wheelchairs and that have different disabilities. And there's this little boy, he's like 6,
mm-hmm.
and he'll go out of his way now to get in trouble. So I was trying to come up with different ways of trying to keep him out of trouble and not hurt the other kids. Like, just learning how to, like, discipline kids as well without actually, like, being strict and still being able to have fun. So that's another kind of aspect that I had to kind of learn about.
Nice. Well, that's good. Yeah, like, I resonate with that. Like, I deal with the kids' classes that we have in our gym, and it's so different. We had a camp a couple of weeks ago, and coming from that, like, maybe 6 to 7 to 10, 12-year-olds for about 4 hours, and then an hour off of lunch and an hour of admin, and then back straight into, like, heavy power cleans and all the crazy stuff.
It's intense, isn't it?
With all these alpha females and males, it's nuts, like, but it's, you have to bring a bit of fun into that as well, though, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So that's good. Now, I suppose we're going to look a little bit more about some of the actual coaching lessons that you might have picked up over the years. Have you got like maybe two or three particular coaching lessons that you would have got over the extent of your career? I know personally I've got two or three kind of, not necessarily flashpoints, but definitely pieces that workings with dealing with different coaches that I've hugely resonated with me, and they've helped me an awful lot to just reset my and recalibrate my my mentality and confidence if I've been in a bit of a bind. Could you speak a little bit about some of the potential coaching lessons you would have picked up along the way?
Yeah, actually, kind of one really good one that I've kind of come to realize, and it's only been within this year, is that coaching is never about you.
Yeah.
It's never about you as a coach. It's about the person. And you can look, you can have a six pack, you can Olympic weightlift, 100 kg, you can, I don't know, do handstands, all this stuff, but it doesn't matter. It's what you do for that person or those group of people. You know? So that really kind of helped me, because I always had this image about how I should look or what I should be able to do. And it just clicked with me one day. I was like, they don't care about what you can do. They don't care about how you look.
Yeah.
It's about what you do for them.
Yeah.
So that was like a really good one that I learned. And I only learned that like this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think it does help a little bit, just to cut across. I think it does help. And I've always battled with this as well. And I think it's a confidence thing, that we need to be a certain point of fitness, or we need to have a certain amount of certs or whatever it is, or a certain amount of knowledge before we can actually start giving it to people, which is a ludicrous notion realistically, because everybody's in the same boat. We don't really know what's going on. Nobody has it figured out, and I keep having to remind myself of that. But I think it can be a help when there is a strong sense of you knowing what you're up to, like, kind of, at least you're, I think, like you mentioned there, your best interest, the person's best interests are at heart, like, so you have their best interests at heart. So I think when you're confident and when you build up a certain amount of experience, like we potentially have, hopefully a little bit, and still loads, another 40 years to go, it was great. Then it does make a difference to them, because they will just kind of, they'll find it easier to buy in, to an extent. I suppose, would you agree with that to an extent?
Yeah, I definitely agree. They need to trust you, like, really. So that's the main part, I think, about coaching. Like, they need to trust you first, and then...
Yeah, from there they can go with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other coaching lessons or...
Yeah, that coaching is a pursuit, and it's not like a weekend course. You know, like, we can be terribly hard on ourselves because you're always looking for, oh, I should get this cert, or I should do this course. But it's a pursuit. It takes a long time, and as you grow as a person, you grow as a coach too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just kind of have like one or two other ones, just about kind of like staying true to yourself as a coach. Like, so for instance, if a client approached me and wanted to do Zumba or like a HIIT session, I would turn them away because that's not what I do. So I don't just coach anyone just for the sake of coaching. Like, if we don't gel together, then we'll just go our separate ways. I don't think everyone should just take on clients just for the sake of taking them on.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, actually, because I think when we maybe first off kind of start coaching, we definitely want to help a lot of people out, and we don't really have our, not necessarily, I suppose, our coaching identity, but definitely an emphasis towards a particular identity of coaching. People get caught on that, and I know I've definitely been one of those people over the years. But now, yeah, you're right. I think one of the best ways to look at it nearly is that I don't really mind if somebody does a Zumba class. If that's what they're into, go for it.
Exactly. But that's not why.
No, exactly. Yeah. I'm not very good at it. Like, I'm crap at Zumba. So, you know what I mean? But I, yeah.
I thought you did a few moves.
I did a few. Like, I used to, well, I did a little bit. Like, I did obviously the exercise to music crack back in the day. Like, so I can do some step fine, but I'm only if I'm pushed now. But I think it's interesting because people, like, I'd have no issue with somebody doing Zumba, but I'm not going to turn around and say, okay, this is the best use of your time, depending on what they've got going on. Like, depending on what they want. Like, there has to be, people are always taking the mick out of me, and they're like, look, you ask so many questions. And I'm like, yes, but that's my job. I have no choice but to ask questions. I have to ask questions so I know exactly what to give you. And that can be one of the interesting kind of things. I think, though, at the same stage, it can be very challenging, depending on who you are and what kind of activities you're involved in, to let that person just kind of drift off and go, look, no, I might have to refer you to somebody else. I just have to leave you to this, and we're just not going to work, like, because you're just going to waste your time. We're gonna clash heads. You're not gonna get closer to your goal. So. It can be quite a challenge in that, but I think Zumba's great. I'm just crap at it.
That's exactly what I mean. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just not going to take on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I'm not a good. I don't know Zumba. I don't know how to do Zumba. I'm not going to teach someone to do Zumba.
Yeah. I think it can be challenging, though. Maybe in like you mentioned about Cafe Move and stuff, and. There's such a variety, and even with the clay and stuff, and there's such a variety of activities that you would probably do within that. Now, I mean, it's generally your strength and your conditioning stuff to an extent, and it's a lot more gymnastics and stuff, but like even something simple like putting juggling into somebody's warm up, like some people would explode on that. But others will absolutely thrive.
That's crazy. I don't know why I'm doing like deadlifts and juggling.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. I think it's absolutely awesome. I think I'm telling you. I think it's great because when, especially things like that, people will normally look at, okay, well, they're so used to looking at deadlifts, or they're like, okay, well, look, I can do a kettlebell deadlift, or I've seen it, I've done a deadlift before, but it was, and they won't admit, but it was terrible, like because I was coached really badly or whatever it was. I was squatting and it was all over the shop. But you put in juggling to that, and you try and explain to them the benefits of. Staying coordinated and core stability, like I think that can be a considerable game changer for people, because it can resonate for a lot of people.
I actually train like that. So, like if you're doing like heavy squats or deadlifts, mm-hmm. like you have to take big rest periods, mm-hmm. and I don't want to sit down. Like I want to use that time to train.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll juggle in between, or I'll do like the nunchucks or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I'm actually gaining a skill or just keeping my coordination going.
Yeah.
So then it's like, I want other people to train like this too. I don't want people to be doing squats and then sitting down for 2 minutes, waiting to go and then go again.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I think it's very important. And this actually leads into my next kind of question of what kind of activities do you think and have you found that are really working at the moment in the fitness world for you? Like, what have you kind of seen, be it online or in the real world? I like to look at them both as two different things, this online and real world thing. Because it's not the same.
It's like two different worlds.
It's not the same. But is there any particular things that you, like, and obviously, okay, something like that, adding in some more skill work into your general strength and conditioning type of activities, Have you found that much success with that from people, or has it been a bit of pushback, or is it just a slow burner, do you think?
No, I think it's definitely working. Mm-hmm. And kind of the main thing that I think is working for the fitness industry at the moment is like it's like a new age personal trainer or coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably can see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of like this person that's like highly educated. And their life isn't revolved around the gym.
Yeah.
Like, they'll they'll go for like a walk in nature, they'll read books, they'll go for a coffee. It's like the gym isn't their whole life.
Mm.
And that, like, some of these coaches, well, they kind of have like different avenues or revenues of like income. So they'll do like podcasts like you.
Mm.
They'll do seminars. They'll have online coaching.
Mm.
And yeah, I think that's kind of main thing. That's kind of what I want. You know, I want to be like kind of one of those. It's like a new, you know what I mean though? It's like a
yeah,
new age.
I think it's an, yeah, that's an interesting one because
when someone says like, oh, you're a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. I don't like saying I'm a personal trainer because they kind of automatically put you into this box of.
Oh yeah, very much. Mm-hmm.
You like with a timer being like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Well, that's
not what I am at all.
Yeah, like, well, that's interesting actually now because I think I would have never been a huge stopwatchy person over the years. Like I'd have a watch, fine. I have a little Casio and tenor, it's fine. It works a charm, and I'll keep an eye on it every so often. But there's always a little bit of an adjustment of time on it. But when it comes to things like that, I suppose the variety of activities you need to have and experiences you need to have to be good as a coach. So I've always been of the opinion, and I say this to the people that I work with all the time, and I suppose in the CrossFit kind of world, there's always that competitiveness of I can get a better time or I can lift more weights or whatever. And I like it that, and I have a bit of crack with that as well. It's great. But when people take the mic and they're kind of like, oh, what did you get today? And I was like, well, I got this such and such time, you know. And in my opinion, if my athletes or my members or my athletes are better than me, then I'm doing okay. Like, yeah. I'm doing fine. Like, if they're really crap and I'm a legend, then I'm not a very good coach, like.
Yeah.
And I'm just crap, like. And in that case, then I'm not also able to, like, even in the last number of weeks, I've been adding in, like, I build different cues for different movements. And I accidentally do it sometimes. I completely steal off other people most of the time. Of like movement positions or how to tweak this and change this and how to say this to somebody to let, hopefully it resonates with them. But I've done that a couple of times in the last week or two, and I've said that to people. I'm like, look, I don't need to be better than you. You need to be better than me. You need to be kicking my ass. You need to be moving better than me. And I'm not going to take all this crazy credit, but I'm just going to say, like, this is how it is. Like, if I'm not this varied in my approach, then you're not going to find as much benefit to it. So it can be challenging with that. But what were you going to say? Sorry. I'm just cutting across.
I was saying on the time thing, like, obviously I think time does matter, and I do count time
completely
for certain exercises. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that I just didn't want to be boxed into
absolutely, yeah,
a person that just counts the time or, you know, we're so much more than
that. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah.
What we do.
Yeah, but I see, I think, I don't know about yourself, but I would have taught, like, spinning classes back in the day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And with spinning, it was always, like, for me, now it's a mad one because, and I haven't taught spinning in years, but it's always interesting because you're sitting in this small little room or in a small space and everybody's facing the same direction. We're all doing the same movement with our legs. We're maybe cranking it. We're all trying to be the exact same person. Which is ludicrous, like, and then potentially me or the instructor, something like that, is just shouting and roaring, and people are getting motivated in the same direction again, which is, I don't know, it doesn't resonate with me very much these days, like you mentioned, the amount of time, like, and I'm a challenging one, I don't know, I think you're probably a little bit different than me, maybe, but you seem to be a little bit easier, find it easier to disconnect from the gym and from the training environment to an extent. I find it quite challenging. But when I do unplug, I love it. Like, it's amazing. And I probably need to do a lot more of it to actually get a better perspective. But the reason I like to, I don't like unplugging that much is because I find it really difficult to plug back in. I fully then want to enjoy my life, like, get away from it, like, completely go. So I don't know, it can be difficult, but I think you're right, the level of perspective you can gain to help your clients and help your people is huge if you continually look outside of what your the four walls of the gym or deadlifts and squats is like.
Yeah, it's very important to look after ourselves as well, because I've actually seen, I have a lot of friends that are coaches or yoga instructors and all these people, and they're actually like terribly run down because they're trying to look after their own training, then they're coaching too many classes, and they're just giving so much.
Yeah.
So like in the last few months, I've just gone out of my way to kind of look after myself as well, you know, like even just read for 30 minutes a day and just have a coffee on my own. That's the one thing I do for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm a better coach for it. I'm a better friend. Yeah. I'm a better person for it. So it has to be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree. Like I'm actually nursing a shoulder injury, and it's purely from stubbornness for me a few weeks ago. And this week now I'm just like, I'm doing my physio exercises. I'm drinking my coffee. I'm actually settling back in, and I'm replanning a more straightforward approach back into my training. So I'm like, oh, this is nice. I can just relax and just, I'm going to squat, bench and deadlift for a few weeks. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to stress about like running and rowing and all this freaking mad stuff. I'm just like, no, keep it simple and just have a bit of crack and it'll get back into a bit of enjoyment with it. But like you said, use that time that I have outside of it to improve my relationships, be it with my family or whoever else. And actually watch some Netflix. Like,
just exactly.
Like, pick up some ideas.
Outside of the gym, like, you know.
Totally, like.
To believe that we're like, we live in the gym, you know.
Yeah. I think sometimes, but I think this is where for me, it's an interesting one. I think do an awful lot of, or in your opinion, do an awful lot of like regular people who maybe who like it don't even go near the gym or like that. They're like, they're on 10 fags a day. They're like, they literally will have 7 pints at the weekend. Like the Prosecco is going hard. You know what I mean? Like race week is coming up in Galway this week and stuff. And they're going to be hitting it crazy. Like, but I think a lot, I don't know if an awful lot of people like that. Maybe they do. Do they think that we're in the gym all the time? Maybe there is that perception, but I don't know if there is as much of that. I think there maybe just is not that there's a lack of interest, but if you're not able to switch into any kind of activity mode, you're not really able to be aware of how much could be available to you if you actually stepped out a little bit of the challenging one. I think that's, for me, is an interesting one. We get some people in our gym that will come in and they won't, you can tell they're in reasonable enough potential shape, or they at least have an interest, like something sparked, and nearly a little bit different than the likes of Cafe Move, where they have to have a bit of an alternative kind of view, or they likely will have a bit of an alternative view to go into that kind of place anyways. Like if you get regular old bodybuilder or Joe or Jane, like they're not going to come in for extra shoulder, extra delt work, you know what I mean?
No.
Or the butt selfies or whatever it is, like it's...
Yeah.
They just don't, and like...
Yeah, and I think that's okay as well. Like, you know, you're going to have clients that don't want to do the work, and then you have to just realise that it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Like, that's their decision.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely came to that conclusion as well, like, recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a client and she... A guy who's kind of going above and beyond for her, but she just wouldn't put in the work. And then I was like, look, that's okay. She doesn't want to do the work.
Yeah.
I can't do any more as a coach.
Yeah. It's very challenging, I think, but I've done the same over the last number of years. Like there's some people you're like, not that you're maybe not the right person, but definitely even not the right time for them. Because we've had people come before and they've been full of beans and they're like, look, I'm going to kill it. This is going to be amazing. And 2 weeks later, they're like, look, this is terrible. I have to go. But then a year later, they come back and they're like, okay. And then they're all in from there, like, you know. But it's just the time and the place to hopefully, I suppose, that's one of the things that I like to think of as well. We have to try and be available whenever they are ready for progress. It can be challenging to know when that is, but you have to kind of just allow yourself to not get stressed about, okay, look, they might find it when they're 45, they might find it when they're 25, but hopefully they find it, and hopefully they find us, you know, and hopefully we can help at the time. If we can't, fine, but we can, I'm sure you've been asked the same, or you've at least kind of recommended after meeting somebody like, I've got a better coach for you here. Friend of mine at work. Yeah, we're not going to work. This is a bit different, the whole lot.
Yeah, I have. Turned away people and put them somewhere else. Or straight away. Just because you know straight... Well, I know anyway. I don't know if you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, instantly, when you talk to someone, you can kind of feel it.
Yeah.
If you're going to get on or if you can actually help them.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to have that relationship with someone. To have some sort of connection.
I think one of the interesting ones, and I won't keep you an awful lot longer just here, but... For me, that's an interesting one. We get some people who, and I'm sure you've the same, who you've got, who might have great intentions at the start, and they might be really good movers, but innately good movers because either they just have a very good body awareness and a very basic body awareness, so it doesn't a lot of the movements seem quite easy to them to pick up, or they're very flexible or something like that, or they just have some general innate strength. I find flexibility is a little bit of an easier one for people to buy into, just because if you're flexible rather than strong, there's a lot more movements that are more accessible for you, and at least we can build strength upon that. But like, if you're doing a squat, like if you're really, really strong and your squat is terrible, like it's nowhere near any kind of depth or anything like that, and your back is all over the place, but you've got massive shoulders, you've got massive legs, then no matter what, you're still going to hit a wall way, way earlier than anybody who's able to actually hit ass to grass and the whole lot, and we can kind of build from there. But that's one of the things I find a challenging one, because some people will have that ability, but they won't recognize how valuable those abilities are. So then they kind of drift off maybe after a few weeks or a month or two, and they're kind of like, this isn't really challenging for me. I need to find something else that's a bit more difficult. And I think that goes back to some of the more interesting types of activities that you would do. Like if you're deadlifting, you're squatting, and you're juggling, and you're doing handstands, I think that pulls people in really, really well, and it keeps them very engaged. And I think that's all we really want. I know that's all I like to do anyways, is be engaged in my coach, in my training.
Yeah, exactly. And I like doing different workshops as well that can give me little tools that I can add to my base. Like, for instance, I work with one lady. She's in her 60s and she does deadlifts. But then I got this skill from, have you heard of fighting monkey? Basically what I have is a tennis ball attached to a string, and I'll put on some like 60s music and we'll basically like do a little dance while she's trying to dodge the ball. There's like a ball on a string, and I'm like swinging the ball towards her head and her hips and her feet, and she's like dancing. And you know, they're the little things that count really, John, because that's what she enjoys.
She's deadlifting
like 60 kg, but then she's also dancing as well.
They're the little things that
kind of make the session fun, even though she's doing deadlifts that she doesn't really enjoy.
I think I completely agree. Like, I think, and that's one of the things that I've found mad is, and I've been in sessions before, and I've worked with different people before, and be other coaches that just seem to be quite stuck in their, not stuck in their ways, but there's not as strong of a growth mindset or as much of a comfort of being laughed at, like potentially being laughed at. Like, I don't care if I'm laughed at. I don't really give a damn, like, because I can give it back just as much and act the maggot here and there. But mostly I like the fact that people can actually have a bit of a laugh. And it sounds bad, but if it's sometimes at my expense, do you know what? I'm okay with that. Not always, now mind. I'll throw back definitely. But in that kind of context, it gives people a chance to have a bit of fun with it and also relax. But like that, some of the variety of movements that you can put into sessions can be really considerable. Like, even something like that, did she turn around at the start and kind of go, this is a bit odd now, like, you sure this is okay? Like, is this going by the book? Da, da, da. You know what I mean? And there's no book, like.
I do try always to keep to kind of the basics, but then throw in some weird stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like, everyone needs to be doing some sort of squat, hinge, pull and push, you know, and
completely.
That's kind of just the basis of any good program, really.
Yeah.
And then from there, you'll throw in like a little bit of dance or a little bit of boxing or,
yeah,
I don't know, whatever they enjoy, a little bit of Jenga, something, you know, just or juggling something
mm-hmm. yeah.
to make it fun.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think it's vitally important. All right, we got a little bit of quick fire around. I won't keep you much longer, Shakira. Favorite book, or at the moment.
Ooh. Okay, I'm reading Homo Deus. Mm. It's an amazing book at the moment. I love
it. Nice, good stuff. I'm reading what was the one before it? Homo
Sapien.
Homo Sapien. Yeah, that's one of three books, kind of on the go. It's not, I'm not great at that. I'm not. I wouldn't mind. I was okay a couple of weeks back, and then I was like, oh no, this is good. Okay, so now I've like bookmarking loads of bits and pieces. So
it's but through waves, isn't it? Reading.
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah.
At the moment, I'm doing great with reading, but then right. next month, like, I might not read it all.
Yeah, yeah. So Homo Deus. That sounds like an amazing book, though.
Oh, it's out of this world. Seriously. Do you want me to talk a little bit about it?
If you want, yeah. If you got a minute, yeah. Absolutely.
So basically, this author is like a psychologist and he's looking at history.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's kind of comparing all of humans' history with evolution and where we're going to the future. So, for instance, he's looking at, like, what are we dying from now? We're no longer dying from starvation.
Mm-hmm.
We're now dying from obesity.
Mm.
You know, he's looking at like what is happening in the future. Like, even our age expectancy is increasing because of technology. Like, before, like, our grandparents might live till 60s, 70s, 80s, but now in the next 100 years, like, we're going to be living till 130. Like, it's just all these mad perspectives that I would never have thought about.
Yeah.
And it's like unlocking my brain. And each time I read like a little blurb, I'm like, wow.
Yeah. It's so really.
Please book everybody on this podcast. Read Homo Deus. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's awesome. Like, I'm reading Sapien, Homo Sapien in the minute. And it's just so in depth and really interesting about how. I suppose I'll give you a bit of a different example actually now, but I only recorded a Beatles documentary the other day, and I'm like, I would have never been hugely into the Beatles or anything like that, and I never would have. I don't know if I sometimes, and there's a lot of things I just don't, I'm never going to understand the hysteria behind things like that, but when I watched it, within the first 20 minutes I'm getting a lump in my throat going, this is nuts. Like, these guys are absolutely, like, just the massive hysteria and the massive wave of people going towards the Beatles. And, like, when you look at them and then they're just, like, they're just such messers and they're just, like, these normal four dudes who are, like, really young and, like, 19, 20 at the time. And I just thinking back to when I was 19 or 20 and I'm like, if that was occurring with all of the other stuff going on, Kennedy getting shot and all this, like, absolutely crazy, like. Yeah. And then to still be able to hold it together and have such talent, it just gives you such a huge perspective and such huge awareness of you're just a piece of a big, big puzzle.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just really nice and humbling, I think. It's just really enjoyable. Like, all right, favorite meal?
Has to be a good chicken curry and rice. Nice. I've been raised on that. Like, one meal would be chicken curry and rice, and then the next day then I'd have my spuds and my ham. That's what I've been raised on.
Nice.
Half and half.
Good stuff.
And that, definitely chicken curry and rice. Oh,
sweet. All day long.
Sri Lankan style. So, yeah, all day long.
Is there a particular difference Sri Lankan style now than, like,
your general? There would be, I suppose. It would be...
Is there any particular extra bits in there?
There's always a coconut milk base, and it would be probably a little bit spicier than like an Indian curry, but...
Okay. Not too bad.
Lovely, like turmeric and cinnamon and just all these amazing spices. Nice.
Good stuff.
You'll have to come to my house and try it someday.
Absolutely.
We're in Park now.
Yeah, definitely. Park. I was only watching Gordon Ramsay had his tour around India on TV the other day, and I was just like, oh, my girlfriend's coming in, she's like, what the hell? You keep watching cookery programs. I'm like, and I'm not a very good cook, but I'm fascinated by it. I'm like, I'm picking stuff up. It's great. Favorite movie?
Ooh. straight away, Forrest Gump came into my head. It must be Forrest Gump then.
Nice.
I just love that movie. I kind of pick up, so every time I watch it, like, I'll pick up one little extra little thing that I hadn't seen before. So that kind of way, there's just so many stories within the story.
That's a serious movie for little small pieces. Yeah, there's an awful lot of detail in that movie. That's good.
Lifting, beautiful movie.
That's great. Yeah, it's excellent. Favorite city.
Favorite city.
Can't say Cork.
Can't be Cork.
Well, it can be Cork. I'm only messing. It can, of course, be Cork.
I really like Barcelona.
Nice.
It was like, I was only around 18, I think, when I went there first, and just kind of opened my eyes to, like, how open people are and how different people are. Mm. And I don't know, I just really like Barcelona.
Nice.
It's really cool. City.
Awesome. Good stuff. Okay, so to kind of round it out, have you any particular favorite coaches that you like watching, you've met, or you've just had any dealings with in particular, like you've worked alongside or whatever, and any particular reason why they would be your favorite coaches?
Yeah, so actually, like, the majority of coaches that I do look up to aren't all these, like, famous, like, well-known names.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're always, like, trying to go for these people, but they're only what we see on social media to be, like, a good coach. Mm-hmm. We don't actually know that they're a good coach.
Yeah.
You know, so most of the coaches that I really appreciate have been my coach, that I have seen coach.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, first person that I can think about is Cotton Bird. Have you ever met?
Oh, Cotton Bird? Look out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was actually my Olympic weightlifting coach in college.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a humble coach. And he's just an amazing person. And that's what I kind of look at from a coaching perspective. That's what I think a good coach should be, is a good person first and then have the skills.
Yeah.
So I think Cotton Bird is an amazing person. My friend Sarah Moods, she's from Canada. I've done a few of her kind of classes, and she just has, like, an amazing, like, honest approach to her coaching. I'm being coached by the Mindful Movers. They're like online coaches.
Okay.
And they're really good. They have, like, a really high level of coaching. They have a really good, like, system of coaching as well for online. There's a few coaches as well around Ireland that I kind of wanted to give a shout to.
Go for it,
Andy Myers in Dublin.
I know Andy, yes.
He's an amazing coach.
Really good.
I've never met Mark O'Dwyer, but I'm really fond of his stuff. He's a young coach. He has his own gym now at the moment, actually, as well.
Big gymnastics head.
Movement by Mod.
I know him, I know him.
He's really, like, high quality. So I'm going to take a trip up to him at some stage in the summer, hopefully, when I get the chance. I like Skinny Gaz, even though he's so young, but he's putting out, like, really good content, which I think is amazing. My own boxing coach as well. He's literally, like, have you seen Rocky? The movie Rocky. He literally is Mickey. Like, he even looks like he has swallow tattoos on his arms and his shoes. But he's just always there for me. You know, even beyond boxing, he's always there for me, looking after me.
What's his name?
Davey.
Davey.
I like to call him Davey Dog.
Hopefully he watches this.
He actually calls me Rocky. He actually calls me Rocky. It's me a big head.
Nice.
At the moment as well, I'm being coached by the Online Movement University, and it's great to be part of that, because it's like educating me in my coaching and also in my own training as well. That's kind of, I think that's all the people that I want to give a shout out to.
Nice. That's pretty good. Nice. And I was going to ask then what your next kind of coaching step might be, if you have one in mind. Like, I know we mentioned earlier on about the different certs that you can get, and, like, even my own head, I'm thinking of different things that I want to potentially do, but I'm like, well, is this really going to benefit me? Is it like,
yeah,
I may know enough about this and I need to actually work a bit more on psychology. I might need to work a bit more on physiology or whatever it is. I need to, rather than just work on this specific coaching kind of thing, you know? Do you have any particular things that are in your head, or is it working with the online movement guys that would be a big, big priority for now?
I'm doing a lot as well. I'm studying precision nutrition. I've been studying it for ages, but I'm taking my time because there's so much knowledge in it. Mm. So I could get through it in like 2 or 3 months, mm. but I actually want to try and learn it properly. Yeah. Mm. So I'm doing that at the moment. And I also booked tickets to go to Toronto to do the FRC.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm doing that in September, which Sweet. Is quite exciting. It's going to be a good experience.
Mm. Those guys are good.
Yeah. And actually, the people within the online movement university, they all kind of work for the FRC as well. Mm. Nice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that because, like, I have done a lot on mobility, but I kind of want that deeper understanding, mm-hmm. like the principles behind mobility training. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm doing the FRC course.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And from there, my coaching career, I don't know whether to either kind of open a gym or do seminars or workshops and stuff like that. I don't really know, but I feel I can go on the right path.
Yeah. So that's up. Would you like to own a gym, do you think?
I'm like in between two minds, like, because it's incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
Like, out of this world stress.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I am in between two minds, but I would like my own space.
Mm.
But I'll see what happens. You never know, I might be able to share it with someone so that it's not. Like, yeah. I don't want too much stress in my life.
Yeah, well, I think that's important. Like, I think that's a really interesting one, because I've had friends who started their own things and had their own gyms and stuff like that, and they're not really doing an awful lot of that now. Like, they struggle considerably with it. But I think you have to have a really good support structure, and you have to have huge belief. Like, you've got a lot of belief, I've got a lot of belief, but
yeah.
I think we probably could all still do with a huge amount of belief, but I think we probably kid ourselves into thinking that we probably don't have enough. And we maybe don't need to get better at this or get better at this or whatever.
You need a gym. Like, people always ask me, like, oh, are you going to open a gym? I'm like, I don't know.
Mm.
So, like, it's not like that's, people think that's like the epitome of your career.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't think that it is.
Yeah. I think it's different. Like, I think it's interesting. That's exactly it. I mean, I'm still working with people and I still see people making progress. So if I had a gym, would I make more progress? Possibly.
Yeah.
But am I making progress at the moment, people? Yeah. Like, I'm not getting worse with people. So if who knows if I did open a gym, whoever opened a gym, that it would get a lot better. Like, if you don't have much time to dedicate and you can't actually focus on your coaching, then what are you going to do? Like, you're stuck in a rock and a hard place with something hanging over your head, and you're kind of under pressure then, putting more pressure on yourself. So I think, like you said, there's benefits to both, but it's very much, I would say the same, it's very much a personal decision, and it's just like, if it's the right time, it's the right time, if it's not, it's not.
I think it's the right time for me, because I'm enjoying my own training too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in a hard learning mode, so it's actually really, it's really good, like, yeah. Nice. Any particular sign off kind of points that you would anybody who's tipping around Cork, what do they need to do to train with you, Shker?
Oh, ready for that. Well, you could probably catch me on Instagram or Facebook. It's kind of the easiest way to contact me.
Cool.
You've got a
ladies strength club at the moment kicking in.
Oh, right. I'm actually starting that this evening.
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited about.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's
going to be the first session today. So it's a strength club just for women, and there's only around 10 to 15 women that will come, just for like a 6-week course.
Nice.
And like, I kind of have the hopes of kind of creating like a little community of women that can kind of hang out together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just like, it's on for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be training really hard for like probably 45 minutes, an hour. But then the last 30 minutes, I kind of want us to just have a little bit of fun and chat some banter, like, you know?
Yeah. I think that's great. Like, that whole third place mentality is, like you mentioned about the kind of new age coach, there's that perspective of making sure that the work can get done. Like, the work is not complicated. The basic work to keep you healthy and keep you safe and stuff is not complicated. Like, it's just not. Like, even if it's something like lifting up a school bag or whatever, I don't give a damn. Like, it's something that you're doing deadlifts, you're doing pressing, like, you're going to be doing all of this stuff. Like, if you're getting out of a chair, you're doing a dip. Let's put it this way. Like, we've all done dips. I did a dip last night because I couldn't be arsed getting up, like, quick enough. And I'm like, I'll just use my arms. I'm not going to just fly up. So I think it's interesting, though, like, that you mentioned that there, that time frame is all really you need. Like, you don't need 3 hours a day. And I think, like, then, especially in the kind of CrossFit world or in the bodybuilding world, there seems to be just, like, 2 days, 3 days, which is, it's just not feasible for most people. Whereas when you can get 45 minutes to an hour of good active, good quality training in a good environment, and then you can also get 20 to 30 minutes of checkers or juggling or having a bit of crack with your people, you go home like such a different person. Like, that's such a bit, such a huge piece of somebody's life that you can actually give to them. Like, giving them back their time, like that positive progress time that they might be missing. I think it's great. And I think that's why I for me anyways, it's why I love what I do, because we give the people the hour and then they really push, and we kind of encourage them pushing their own stuff, but we give them lots of interesting ideas of, like, look, this is how you can have a bit of crack as well. Because within the sessions, we'll just throw in bits and pieces, like, you know. But I think that's great, and I hope it goes really, really well for you. That'd be cool. Is it a few times a week or a couple of times a week kind of thing you're looking at?
This is the first one now, so I'm only just doing it once every Friday now at the moment. Okay. But I'll see how that goes, and then possibly increase it then in the next few months, you know.
Sweet, no problem. Awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Kira. It's been a pleasure chatting to you. I'll check up on the show notes, all of the details, how to get in contact with you, and we're good to go. Is that okay? Appreciate your time.
Nice. That's great. Thank you.
Good stuff.